Sri Krishna who gives liberation. By thinking of his lotus feet at every second, following in the footsteps of authorities, the devotee in trance can see the absolute truth. The learned mental speculators, however, think of him according to their whims. May the Lord be pleased with me. Is declared to be the absolute truth, the source of all that exists, as well as the source of all incarnations of Godhead. And thus Krishna is all pure. And by coming in contact with Krishna, we become purified. But it is explained herein that one can come in contact with Krishna through the path of bhakti, through remembering him, through thinking of his lotus feet. Thinking of his lotus feet can be understood to mean thinking of how to serve him, how to please him. And this is done by following in the footsteps of the great devotees of the Lord. Bhakti Bhakti is the process by which one can perfect one's life. Bhakti is the Lord's own internal potency. And it can only be received by the mercy of the bhakta. This is Krishna's own plan. Krishna is independent. He is not bound by any conventional rules or regulations that we may impose upon him in this world. Krishna has created his own rules and regulations. And the rules of the Lord are manifested within this world by the Lord according to his own nature. And the nature of Krishna is that he is bhaktavatsala. He is always subordinate to the love of his devotees. In the spiritual world, the eternal pastimes of the Lord are all simply the manifestations of his love for his devotees and his own desire to be conquered by the love of his devotees. And therefore, it is Krishna who has created the means by which we can achieve his mercy in this world. Yasya prasara bhagavat prasaro yasya prasara nagati kuto. His mercy is manifested through his devotees. And this is the sacred principle which is the very foundation of real spiritual life. To understand how to somehow receive the mercy of Krishna through his devotees. And even when the Lord himself comes to this world in the form of his own devotee, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he does not manifest real bhakti until he receives it from his own devotee, Srila Ishvara Puri. Lord Chaitanya, when he was young, although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he came to teach us how to get devotion, how to perfect our lives. And Lord Chaitanya appeared to be a very scholarly person. In fact, he defeated the greatest scholars in all the world. He was most learned. As a grihastha, he was most pious, charitable. He had all qualities except one. He manifested no real devotion to the Lord. And the devotees of Navadvip were constantly praying to Krishna, please give this Nimai Pandit bhakti. If he becomes your devotee, his power, his influence, he can make the whole world chant your holy names. And one time Lord Chaitanya, when he was meeting with Srivas was very older to him, like his father. And Srivas told him, you are wasting your life. You have such beauty, and you are getting so many riches because you have so much following and fame, and you're so highly learned, and you're coming from the most prestigious, esteemed Brahmin family, but your life is useless. If you have no devotion to Krishna, these are all like ornaments on a dead body. And Lord Chaitanya touched his feet and said, because of your blessings and prayer, someday I will become a devotee. And then when he went to Gaya and he met with Srila Ishvara Puri and he accepted him as a spiritual master, and served him by cooking for him and performing menial duties for him. How is it that the Supreme Lord, who Lakshmi Devi herself is the servant of, is becoming the humble servant of his devotee? And upon receiving the mercy of Ishvara Puri, at that moment, Nimai Pandit manifested the super excellent signs of pure unalloyed devotion that this world has never seen. And after receiving the order from his guru, you take the holy name of Krishna and you spread it throughout the world and make everyone devotees. Then he began his great mission. He wanted to show us that bhakti is within the heart of the devotees. And when we become dear to the heart of such devotees, then we have access to the greatest gift in all of creation. Bhakti is different than any other source or a form of religion or yoga. Because on other forms of yoga, there are so many qualifications you have to make proper advancement. In the real sense of jnana, Shankaracharya was the teacher. You had to be a Brahmin and you had to take sannyas before he would even bother trying to teach you. But the path of bhakti is so powerful that even if you are coming from the lowest birth, even if you have been addicted to the most terrible, abominable, sinful activities, if you receive the mercy of a devotee who has bhakti in his heart, you can achieve the ultimate perfection of life very quickly. And even on the path of bhakti, if we are still contaminated by pride and lust and envy and anger and greed and illusion and these anarthas, it is not a problem. It is natural at the beginning stages that the residue of all of our births of previous conditionings are still there. But if we just continue to serve under the direction of the Lord's devotees, practice the principles of devotion, hearing and chanting the Lord's glories and His names, gradually we become perfect. Gradually our hearts become clean and we can achieve real happiness, real peace. Srila Prabhupada explained in so many ways how real happiness can only come through devotion to God. How we should understand that real intelligence is to know that it is futile and useless to endeavor for happiness within this material world by any means, because this world is a place of suffering. There are so many allurements trying to invite us into a realm of material happiness. There are so many forms of entertainment, so many types of fashions, so many types of social groups, and in this way, so many sporting events and various universities and educational facilities, all promising us happiness. But what kind of happiness? Whatever we may have or not have will not guarantee our happiness. Prahlad Maharaj explains that it is already ordained how much you will suffer and how much you will enjoy due to your previous karmas. And you can make superficial arrangements in your life, but you will still enjoy and suffer the same. You may have so much karma to suffer, and you may work so hard and make millions and millions and millions of rupees, but you will still suffer. Whether you suffer as a poor man or suffer as a rich man, suffering is suffering. So why should we waste our time in this effort? Intelligence means to know that the only real happiness is in devotion to God, in purifying our heart and realizing the ecstatic joy of the soul. And this we must be convinced of. Otherwise, we will certainly fall victim to the prowess of material energy. There is no doubt. Many casualties take place on the devotional path. But actually, even if that does take place, there is really no loss except time. Tyaktva svadharmam charanam bhajam harir. Because once tasting the nectar of devotional service, even if you forget that nectar for some time, even if you fall down again into materialistic activities, you will suffer so bad, you will be so frustrated, your life will be such a disgrace that you will run back to Krishna in due course of time, begging, please forgive me and take me as your servant. But why should we waste our time? Therefore, we must hear in the association of devotees very sincerely and very regularly to be convinced of the reality of this material nature. It is a place where everyone is trying to be happy, but there is no happiness. Fool's paradise. And the more we try to solve the problems of this world, the more we aggravate the essential problems. Because really, there's only one problem. We have forgotten our eternal soul and our relationship with Krishna. That is the only problem. And the only solution is to become God-conscious or Krishna-conscious. Thus, we should accept whatever is favorable for our Krishna consciousness, and we must reject whatever is unfavorable. However enjoyable it may appear, however much prosperity may be promised through entertaining such thoughts, we must reject it. As it is said, what is the use if you gain the whole world but you lose your eternal soul? To lose our soul means to forget Krishna, to forget the goal of life and the process of achieving it. So therefore, we must be fixed in our consciousness. We must live a pure life with pure people, and we must find our happiness, seek our happiness, in hearing the glories of the Lord, in serving the lotus feet of the great devotees of the Lord, and in chanting the holy names of the Lord.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
When we receive the blessings of the Lord's pleasing devotees, those who have seek shelter and surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord, and we follow their direction, our path is guaranteed. It may take some time, but we should never give up the instructions and never give up the shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord's devotees, because they are the boat that will cross over the ocean of material existence, birth and death. The Bhagavatam explains how the lotus feet of the great Vaishnavas are special kinds of boats. They are taking people across the vast, vast ocean of material existence without even moving. How is that possible? Just like if you go to the docks at the gateway of India and you catch a boat to... Where do you want to go? Huh? Africa. Kauranga Prabhu wants to go to Africa. So, huh? Anyway, elephant, not Africa, Elephanta. Ah. So if you want to go to Elephanta, one time Raghunath took my mother and father there. And what kind of an austerity it was. First you have to wait for the boat, because the boat's already left. And then you have to wait half hour, hour for it to come back. And then they drop you off there, and then all monkeys start stealing everything you have. And then you want to come back, and the boat's too crowded, and you have to wait for another boat, and so much waiting, waiting, and then the trip is not such a nice trip. Dirty water everywhere. And that is just a short, but this ocean of material existence is very deep and very broad. It is unlimited. It is explained that the boat of all the materialists who are promising you to solve your problems, it is like a stone boat. Have you ever rid on a stone boat? If you did, you wouldn't be here to tell us. When you get on a stone boat, it just sinks to the bottom. All of the so-called politicians and philosophers and scientists and technicians and all of the other forms of enjoyment and solutions to problems that people are offering, they are all asking you, come and board my stone boat. It looks very nice, but it just makes you go down into the ocean of birth and death, of material anxiety. But the boat of the devotees, the lotus feet of a pure devotees, is so nice that as soon as you board that boat, and take shelter of it, the whole ocean shrinks. It reduces to the size of the water contained in a hoofprint of a calf. And then you just walk on one side of the boat, and you get out the other side, and you're in the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, where everybody is simply blissfully dancing and chanting the holy name.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his wonderful pastimes, utilized his most sacred mercy to reveal to the world the glories of his devotees. Throughout the Leela of the Lord, we find the qualities and the glories of the Lord's devotees. But those devotees, their preference is always to remain in a very humble position. When Lord Chaitanya was traveling through South India, it was actually at this time of the year, Chaturmasya, the rainy season, he stopped in Srirangam, and there he decided to remain there for the 4 months of the rainy season. In the premier issue of Back to Godhead, there's a beautiful article about Srirangam. How many of you have read? How many of you have not read? How many of you will read? Our devotees worked so hard, put so much time and energy into making this magazine available. We should read it. Srila Prabhupada called it the backbone of our movement, Back to Godhead magazine. So not only should we discuss how important it is, but we should also read it so we understand how important it is. So there's a beautiful story about Srirangam. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu understood that this place was actually the capital of Vaishnavism for the whole of South India. Sripad Ramanuja Acharya, Jamuna Acharya, they made this their base. And they propagated the highest principles of bhakti from that place. Ramanujacharya especially taught two things that Lord Chaitanya extracted and taught within his own mission. And that is pure bhakti, uncontaminated by jnana or karma. And the importance of serving devotees. Ramanujacharya very strongly established these principles. So when Lord Chaitanya went to this place, the largest temple in all of the world, he began to have his kirtan, chanting and dancing before the beautiful deity of Sri Ranganath. And he met one Brahmin. His name was Venkatabhata. And this Brahmin was actually one of the head priests of the temple. And to this day, his descendants are still the head priests of the temple. He invited Lord Chaitanya to his home. And when Lord Chaitanya came, Venkatabhata offered him his family, offered him his house, offered him his very life. Lord Chaitanya at that time was a great sannyasi. And Venkatabhata washed the lotus feet of the Lord. And then he drank that water. And then he shared it with his family. There were three brothers, Trimalabhata, Venkatabhata, and the third brother was Prabodhananda, who later became Prabodhananda Saraswati. So they all drank the water that washed the lotus feet of the Lord, and then they gave to Venkatabhata's son, who was just a small boy. His name was Gopal, or Gopal Bhatta. And when he saw his parents and his uncles so much worshipping the Lord, and when he drank the water of the Charanamrit, immediately upon drinking that Charanamrit, his heart just overflowed with ecstatic love of Krishna. This little boy's eyes were flowing with tears of ecstasy, and his whole body was trembling and shivering in ecstatic love. And from that moment, he could not give up the association of Lord Gauranga, even for a moment. When one has love, the nature of that love is the desire to serve. Love is not stagnant. Srila Prabhupada explains, you never see pictures of gopis sitting in lotus posture with their eyes closed. The gopis are all either churning butter or milking cows or dancing or singing or playing instruments. They are always doing some service. This is love. Love is to serve. Love is to make sacrifices of yourself for the object of your love. So Gopal Bhatta, he just became so happy to serve the Lord. And his father, Venkatabhata, it was the joy of his life to see his son enthusiastic to serve this great sannyasi, Lord Chaitanya. Venkatabhata understood that Lord Chaitanya was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That was revealed to him gradually. So he told his son Gopal that this is the most important part of your life. You serve Lord Gauranga. So he would serve him throughout the day, and he would serve him throughout the night. And his love was so pure. And the purity of love is when we are not concerned with our own happiness, but we are concerned with the happiness of the object of our love. This is devotion. Gopal was thinking that Lord Chaitanya is Krishna himself. He's the Lord of Srimati Radharani, Brajendra Nandana Kumar. And just for the sake of delivering the fallen souls, he has renounced his own eternal consort. He has cut off his beautiful hair, and he has taken the robes of an ascetic, performing austerities. And for the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, to see Lord Chaitanya in this role of a sannyasi is simultaneously ecstatic to see what is the extent of his mercy and renunciation. But it is also very painful. So he would cry. He would weep privately. When he was with the Lord, or when he was with his family members, he tried to somehow or other appear composed and render nice service. But whenever he was alone, he would lament, he would weep bitterly, and he would begin to pray that why is providence so cruel? Why did I have to take birth in such a faraway place where I could not see the beautiful pastimes of the Lord in Navadvip, where he was with his eternal consort, and he was sowing the pastimes of the Supreme Enjoyer amongst his most intimate associates, chanting the holy names of the Lord. His heart was burning with the fire of lamentation in the ecstasy of love. And then he began to forgive Providence. Actually, Providence, it is not your fault. It is all my fault. It is due to my misdeeds that I have been born in this faraway place, and I did not see the Lord in his form of the enjoyer of Navadvip. One night, Gopal Bhatta had a dream, a wonderful dream, where he was actually in Navadvip, and Lord Chaitanya was strolling down the streets along with Gopal Bhatta and amongst his other associates, and Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu. They very lovingly embraced little Gopal, and they began to tell him something very confidential. And just as they were about to speak, he woke up. And in great haste, the boy ran to where Lord Chaitanya was present, and he fell at Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet. Lord Chaitanya was sitting there with his shaved head, with his saffron robes. But in order to fulfill the desire of his devotee, right before Gopal Bhatta's own eyes, the Lord transformed into a cowherd boy with a beautiful, beautiful bluish complexion like that of a newly formed monsoon cloud. And when Gopal Bhatta saw this beautiful form, his heart began to tremble in ecstasy. And then right before his very eyes, this beautiful bluish form of Gopinath gradually turned into a golden form, the form of Sri Navadvip Chandra, with beautiful, beautiful black hair curling over his shoulders. He had beautiful lotus eyes. His eyebrows were raised. His glance was such a glance that it would completely charm and conquer the hearts of all living beings. He had a wonderful, wonderful smile on his face. And when Gopal saw this, with tears in his eyes, he fell at the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga. And then he looked up, and Lord Chaitanya was again in his form as of a sannyasi. And he began to speak. He said, "Very soon, you will go to Vrindavan. My instruction to you is your parents are pure devotees of the Lord. You stay home and you serve them. And when they leave this world, you should go to Vrindavan. And there you should become intimate friends and brothers with Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatana Goswami." You will make disciples all over the world. And you will be the cause of distributing the books of Rupa and Sanatana throughout the world. And in this way, I will fulfill all of your desires. And then he told him that whatever you have seen and heard, you keep it confidential within your own heart. So from this time, Gopal Bhatta, with all of his desires fulfilled, he continued serving the Lord. But then the Chaturmasya was coming to an end, and both Gopal and his father and uncles were thinking that soon the Lord will leave us. What will we do? Who will we dance with? Who will we chant with? Who will bring thousands and millions of peoples to Sri Rangam? People were coming from all over South India to Sri Rangam just to dance and chant with Lord Chaitanya. And he was giving them all ecstatic love. Who will we sit with? Who will we hear Krishna Katha from? Who will we give prasad and joke with? In this way, every moment that was approaching was becoming more and more painful to them because the Lord was going to leave. And before the Lord left, he reconfirmed to Gopal Bhatta that all of his desires will be fulfilled. So Lord Chaitanya traveled throughout South India, Western India, then he returned to Navadvip. Meanwhile, Gopal Bhatta, his mind was completely fixed in the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Throughout the day and throughout the night, he was constantly chanting the holy names of the Lord and constantly remembering the mercy of the Lord. And from his uncle, Prabodhananda Saraswati, he became a student and soon became the most celebrated learned scholar of the Vedic scriptures in all of the south part of India. And he became very famous. One time a Brahmin came to the house of Venkata Bhatta and he began to praise that, "Venkata Bhatta, you are so fortunate to have a son like this. He has such pure devotion to Lord Krishna and he is so submissive and obedient to his parents. I have never seen anyone like this." And Venkata Bhatta, upon hearing his son being glorified, he explained to the Brahmin about the great virtues of his own son. And actually, this is a great lesson. A parent should be satisfied when they see their son or daughter surrendering to Krishna. That is the sign of a real loving parent. In this material world, we have forgotten the purpose of human life, and we have forgotten the welfare, the real welfare of others. Now we're thinking, we're very proud of our children if they get good in their exams, or if they get a beautiful wife from a good family, or if they get a nice husband with lots of money. We become very proud that we are successful as parents. But this has nothing to do with the welfare of our child. A parent who actually understands knowledge of the truth of what is real love will be proud and blissful when they see their children surrendering to Krishna. But in the Kali Yuga, parents are afraid when they see their children surrendering to Krishna. They want to keep them away from Krishna. Don't spend so much time chanting God's name. Do not spend so much time going to temple and being with devotees. Why are you always reading these books? They become very fearful. What about your material life? This Krishna consciousness, when you become very old and retired, then you can do these things. Look at me. I'm your father, I'm your mother, and I'm working like an ass, foaming at the mouth, suffering miserably. You should be like me. You shouldn't be like these devotees dancing, chanting, and smiling all the time. Your life will be a failure. So, this is the conditioning, this age of Kali. But Venkata Bhatta was a real father. And his mother was also someone who had completely surrendered to the Lord. And their pride and joy was that their son was such a devotee. Always thinking of Krishna, always preaching Krishna Katha, always dancing in ecstasy and chanting the holy names. you become a parent like that, then your children will never want to leave you. Gopal Bhatta stayed home. Lord Chaitanya said, they are such nice devotees. You should serve them. So he remained at home with them until they were old. And just before leaving their bodies, they told Gopal Bhatta, we give you blessings and permission. You go to Vrindavan, become a Goswami. This is our heart's desire. How many parents say like this to their children? So in this way, they gave the order to their son. Go to Vrindavan, become Goswami. And then with the thought of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's beautiful form in their hearts and his name upon their lips, Venkata Bhatta and his wife left this world and went back home, back to Godhead. And Gopal Bhatta, he went to Vrindavan. He was about 30 years old when he went to Vrindavan. And while he was there, he met with Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. Meanwhile, Lord Chaitanya was living in Jagannath Puri. And every day he would go from the house of Kashi Mishra, Gambira, where he resided, to the Tota Gopinath temple, where Gadadhar Pandit would reside. Gadadhar Pandit was such a wonderful devotee. In this temple of Gopinath, the most beautiful loving exchanges between the Vaishnavas would take place. Gadadhar Pandit would be continuously reading Srimad Bhagavatam and explaining the meanings, and there would always be wonderful, wonderful kirtan and prasad and loving relationships. So Lord Chaitanya, one day he went to the temple of Gadadhar Pandit, and after worshipping Gopinath, having nice kirtan, he sat down with his associates and he explained that I have not heard anything from Rupa and Sanatana in Vrindavan for a long time. I have not gotten any message. And just when he said that, a messenger came in and said, I have brought a letter from Rupa and Sanatana in Vrindavan. And Lord Chaitanya, with great happiness, he opened the letter, and there, just what he wanted to hear was written. Rupa and Sanatana had said that Gopal Bhatta, this great Brahmin of South India, he said he has come to Vrindavan, and he is a wonderful Vaishnava, and we have accepted him as our own brother. And when Lord Chaitanya heard this, he was very happy. What is the most blissful experience for the Lord and for the spiritual master? To see the devotees exchanging love with one another. To see devotees really becoming brothers and sisters in the sense of selfless love and service. Srila Prabhupada said, you can show your love for me by how you cooperate with one another. And Srila Prabhupada's idea of cooperation is not that you tolerate one another. Minimum, at least we should do that much. But real cooperation in the path of bhakti means something very positive. Showing great affection, showing great love, willing to make great sacrifices for the welfare of each other. That is cooperation. For the purpose of making the Lord's mission attractive for the whole world. Lord Chaitanya sent a message back. And he said to Rupa and Sanatana, yes, You accept Gopal Bhatta as your own brother. And you exchange these loving relationships amongst Vaishnavas together. And then Lord Chaitanya sent gifts. And when those gifts reached Vrindavan, the devotees were so happy. He especially sent Gopal Bhatta a little wooden seat that Lord Chaitanya would personally sit on, and some outer cloth, kopan. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami took that and worshipped those gifts with great, great love and great affection. The loving relationships between Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, and later Jiva Goswami were so wonderful, so sweet, so pure, that they had such deep attachment to one another in serving Krishna together. Gopal Bhatta would help Rupa Goswami in his worship of the deity of Govindadev. But then one day Govindadev appeared to Rupa Goswami and told him that Gopal Bhatta Goswami should have his own deity. And soon after that, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in a dream to Gopal Bhatta Goswami and told him that you should worship my form as Shalagram Shila. You should go to Nepal, the river Gandaki, and there you should collect Shalagram Shila. So Gopal Bhatta went to the Gandaki River, high in the Himalayas, and there he took his bath. But with water, Shalagram Shilas appeared in his pot. So he poured it out and went to take it again, and Shalagram Shilas were again in his pot. Whenever he put his bucket in the water of the river, 12 Shalagram Shilas would appear in his pot. So he understood, these are the forms of the Lord that I am supposed to worship. So he went back to Vrindavan. And he began to worship these Shalagram Shilas with great devotion. One time, a very, very wealthy devotee came to Vrindavan. And he was offering jewels and crowns and clothing to the various Goswamis who had deities. And he also gave to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Gopal Bhatta Goswami told this devotee that I am only worshipping Shalagram Shila. I cannot put all these ornaments and crowns on Shalagram Shila. But he said, no, you keep them. So it was actually on the day of Narasingha Chaturdasi, the appearance day of Lord Narasingha Dev, that Gopal Bhatta Goswami laid all these jewels and clothing in front of his 12 Shalagrams, and he offered a prayer that I desire to please you by offering you this. My prayer is that if it is your desire, please appear in your beautiful threefold bending form so I can worship you as such. And then he offered a prayer that my Lord, today is the appearance day of Lord Narasingha Dev. On this day, your beautiful form of Narahari came out of a piece of stone. So please, from these stone shalagrams, manifest your beautiful form to me. And he began to chant the wonderful prayers of Prahlad Maharaj to Lord Narasingha Dev. And then he took rest that night. And when he rose in the morning, he went to Jamuna to take his bath. And when he came back, one of his shilas, which was called the Damodar Shalagram Shila, grew into the beautiful form of Krishna, who had a charming smile on his face in his threefold bending form playing upon the flute. And Gopal Bhatta called Rupa and Sanatan and the other devotees, Lokanath Goswami, Bhugarabha Goswami, Kashishwar, Raghunath Das, they were all there. And when they saw the beautiful form of the deity that self-manifested simply out of love for the devotee, and he was given the name Radharaman, Krishna who gives pleasure to Srimati Radharani. And we were explaining how Krishna fulfills the desires of such pure surrender devotees. The three principal deities of Vrindavan were Madan Mohan, Govindaji, and Gopinath. And these three deities were the life and soul of all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, and especially the life and soul of Gopal Bhatta Goswami. This particular deity of Radharaman, it explains in our Bhakti Shastras, manifested a form in such a way that from his feet to his waist were identical to the beauty of Madan Mohan. And his hands and his chest had the identical beauty of Gopinath, and his face was identical to the beauty of Radha Govindaji. In this way, these three deities, the life and soul of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, all manifested into the one form of Sri Radharaman. And he was only about 12 inches tall. So there was a big, beautiful, wonderful festival to celebrate the installation of Sri Radharaman on the full moon night of the month of Vaishakha. And all the devotees came and performed Abhishekam and beautiful, beautiful kirtan, where everyone in great happiness praising the glories of Gopal Bhatta's devotional service began chanting Krishna's name.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
How dear Rupa and Sanatan and Gopal Bhatta were, how they would meet together, hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, devising more and more ways of writing books and presenting Krishna consciousness in such a way to attract the hearts of all the world. Gopal Bhatta, his mind was always fixed in serving the devotees and serving that beautiful, beautiful form of Sri Radharaman. He would collect with his own hands flowers, and he would make beautiful garlands and decorate the Lord. In fact, his meditation day and night was simply to serve his beloved. But as he would look at Radharaman and serve, he would think of the mercy of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. He remembered how when he was a small child, Lord Chaitanya bestowed so much kindness, so much love upon him. And thinking of the beautiful form of Lord Chaitanya, tears would flow from his eyes in great ecstasy. And he remembered his father's instruction to him that you should always worship the lotus feet of Lord Gauranga. Knowing the heart of Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Radharaman wanted to fulfill even that desire. And right before his eyes, Radharaman transformed into the beautiful form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with his arms raised, loudly chanting the holy names of
God. Hey, Krishna! Hey, Krishna! Krishna! Krishna!
It was confirmed in the most wonderful way that serving Radharaman was directly serving Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu. That they are one and the same personality. When Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami left this world, Gopal Bhatta Goswami was so much immersed in the ocean of ecstatic love, in the mood of separation from those devotees. Ramananda Rai prayed, "The only pain there is to be separate from the association of devotees. The only real tears that are worth shedding in this world are tears of feelings of separation from the Lord and His devotees. Because those tears water the creeper of devotion within our heart. We should not cry over material matters. We should not cry because of frustrations within this world. All you get out of that is you just waste so much water from your body. There's no benefit. The tears of separation from the Lord and His devotees, each tear is more precious than the rarest, most valuable diamond. So, Gopal Bhatta was practically constantly just immersed in weeping and crying in separation from these two great souls who were so dear to his heart. When, oh when, will that day be when we can develop such attachment and such love for the Lord's devotees? That should be the aspiration of our life. Lokanath Goswami also, after Rupa and Sanatan left, because they were such reservoirs of mercy, Lokanath Goswami just decided, "I will not take disciples, I will just cry." Of course he preached and he did his bhajan, but it was all in mood of separation, not only from Radha Vinod, but from Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis. And when Sri Radharaman saw the love of Gopal Bhatta for these two great souls, how much he enjoyed the pleasure and filled his heart with bliss. So at that time, Srinivasacharya was sent to Vrindavan. Srinivasacharya was a devotee who made his life and soul to serve the servants of Lord Chaitanya. And as he was approaching Vrindavan, Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami appeared in a dream to Jiva Goswami and told him that Srinivas is coming and you should take care of him and you should bring him to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And then Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis appeared to Gopal Bhatta Goswami and told him, "My devotee Srinivasacharya is coming. You should give him initiation and accept him as your disciple. So when Srinivas Acharya came to Vrindavan, Jiva Goswami brought him to Gopal Bhatta Goswami. And Gopal Bhatta Goswami initiated him, taught him the principles of Vaishnavism, taught him how to live in 24-hour day remembrance of Krishna. And most of all, he offered Srinivasacharya to the lotus feet of Sri Radharaman. The spiritual master or any Vaishnava should never think that any disciple is my disciple. Actually, Krishna is the proprietor of everything. The spiritual master never claims to be God. The spiritual master never feels himself master. But such a great spiritual master as Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he showed us what is a real guru. He simply prayed to Radharaman, please accept this devotee, he is yours. I am offering him to your lotus feet. And it was by Gopal Bhatta's instruction that he entrusted Srinivasacharya to study the Vaishnava literatures under Jiva Goswami, which is very significant. To see the loving trust amongst the Vaishnavas. He told Srinivas that you go and you study under Jiva Goswami. This is my desire. And by his benediction, the benediction of Gopal Bhatta Goswami, it was Srinivasacharya who first took the literatures, the first literatures of our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, and began to distribute them throughout the world. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, following in the line of Srinivasacharya, they put so much of their life's energies into printing books and distributing books. When Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was asked by the Vaishnavas to write the history of the life of Lord Chaitanya and his teachings, he understood that the history of the life of Lord Chaitanya means to explain his loving relations with his devotees. So he approached each and every senior devotee in Vrindavan for blessings. Because a humble devotee will never embark on any important activity without receiving the blessings of the Vaishnavas. When he approached Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami, Gopal Bhatta Goswami gave him his blessings with one condition, that you do not speak about me in your book. You do not even mention my name. If you follow that instruction, you have all my blessings. So somehow or other, out of etiquette, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita. And in one or two places, he very nicely slips in the name of Gopal Bhatta. But other than that, he does not describe any of his glories out of respect for the desire of this devotee. The pure devotees of the Lord, they never want to be glorified. They simply want to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead and other Vaishnavas glorified. Gopal Bhatta Goswami dedicated his life to glorifying Vaishnavas
and giving shelter to the fallen souls. And by Lord Chaitanya's own arrangement, he revealed the glories of Gopal Bhatta Goswami through other means by which we could all achieve the great benefit of hearing these wonderful narrations. So it is through appreciating and understanding the bhakti of the Vaishnavas that we actually have real access to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya himself said that the real conclusions of the scriptures can never be understood by any scholarly attempts of reading those scriptures. The conclusions of the shastras are hidden. They are revealed only through the hearts of those pure devotees who have surrendered everything in the loving service of the Lord. When we receive their mercy, then we can understand the real essence of all knowledge, surrender to Krishna. And this is quite obvious. Bhagavad Gita was translated in English in over 100 editions, and no one came to the conclusion that Krishna is God, or that we should become devotees of Krishna. Although repeatedly Krishna says, become my devotee, I am the source of everything, surrender to me. But no one came to that conclusion. Great politicians, great yogis, great philosophers, great scholars. And even here in India, there are so many teachers and lecturers of Bhagavad Gita. But where do we find that Krishna is a person, that you are a person, and you should surrender to Krishna and always think of Krishna? Who is teaching? Srila Prabhupada went to the West and he revealed his heart. He revealed the truths within his heart, without which were the truths that were descending from the previous acharyas in Parampara. And through them, the obvious meaning of Gita was revealed. As Lord Chaitanya said, the truth of the scriptures are as clear as the shining sun. But the interpretations, speculations, and explanations of people who are not devotees are like dark, dark clouds that completely cover the light of the sun. Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita, as it is, he presented it in such a way that his own ego, his own interpretations and opinions were not like a cloud covering Krishna. He presented it as it is, so that each sloka could shine brilliantly as Krishna intended it to shine. And through that Bhagavad Gita, so many millions of people are becoming devotees of Krishna. And when Srila Prabhupada came back to India, when Srila Prabhupada and his associates began to explain Bhagavad Gita, it was like a revolution. What is this? You're talking about surrendering to Krishna? I am Krishna, you are Krishna, everyone is Krishna. But Krishna says, surrender to me. Srila Prabhupada was talking to one scholar. He was a very, very great yogi from India. Very famous, very learned. had so many disciples. He invited Srila Prabhupada, "You come to our, we're having a nice gathering of sadhus, we would like you to speak." Srila Prabhupada said, "It is a waste of time. You are teaching Gita? What does Krishna say in Gita? Krishna says, Sarva Dharman Puritya Ja Mamekam Sharanam Braja. He says, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. Why you are not teaching surrender to Krishna?" And the person was speechless. He could not say anything. Because the fact is, the conclusion of Gita is always think of Krishna. Manmana bhava mad bhakto. But who is saying think of Krishna? Bhagavad Gita is explaining the difference between the demigods and him. Krishna says, "I am the source of the demigods. Those who are less intelligent worship the demigods for material benedictions. Those who have real intelligence surrender to me." And on the basis of Gita, people are saying it doesn't matter who you worship. Any path is all right. All the gods are ultimately leading to the impersonal Brahman. Brahmanohi pratishtaham. Krishna says, "I am the source of the impersonal Brahman." The Gita is clear, it is easy to understand. But unless you hear it from a pure devotee, you cannot understand it. Why? It is Krishna's arrangement. Although the simplest truths are evident to anyone, Krishna says that unless you become dear to a devotee, unless you take shelter of my devotee, you will never understand these truths. I will not reveal it to you. The path of bhakti will be far away. But if we just humble ourselves to be the servant of the servant of the servant, it is very easy. Even a child can perfect his life. Here in Bombay at Cross Maidan, a little 4-year-old girl was dancing and chanting. Prabhupada said, because she has taken shelter of a devotee of the Lord, see how simple it is that she is chanting and dancing and telling everyone that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But even the great, great sannyasis and ascetics and yogis, because they have not taken shelter of a devotee of the Lord, they cannot understand these things. So to understand the glories of Krishna's love for his devotees is the path of perfection. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. In this age of Kali Yuga, the devotees of the Lord seek their happiness in life in preaching the message of the Lord together. And that message is sublime. That in this age, when the conditioned soul, in the association of Vaishnavas, cleanses his heart through the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, that person becomes most fortunate. That person attains the greatest treasure, the treasure of love of God, gradually is given. Because this is what associating with devotees means. This is what serving devotees means. To create a life, an atmosphere, an environment in a society where we come together in Harinam Sankirtan.